You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Shot blocked. Porzingis with his fourth projection. Courtney Lee for three.
Beasley lines up. Ntilikina.
What he does is contagious. Because of infectious.
And across the lane. Baker launches. Jack to Porzingis. Fires up the ball.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of explaining, complaining, and entertaining. I'm your host, James Marcino, a.k.a. Def Jam Gundy. You may know me as the founder of NBA Injury Report on Twitter. And this is episode 314. On today's show, we're joined by Alex Wolf of Posting and Toasting. It's the week of the draft, and we got a couple of things to cover. On today's episode, what we're going to talk about, a lot of people ask me, they say, James, who's your favorite prospect in the draft? And I've been like, I'll never tell. But today, I'm telling. That prospect is Luka Doncic. So I'm going to talk about Luka Doncic with Alex Wolf, why I'm infatuated with this young man. And what we're going to do is concoct scenarios to trade for the draft rights to Luka Doncic. It may sound crazy, but word on the street is that he might fall to 3, 4, or maybe even 5. I think that's insane. Everyone who passes on him is going to feel very sorry. And furthermore, word on the street is that Memphis is at least interested in trading the number 4 pick. They're thinking about getting out from under the contract of Chandler Parsons. They're thinking about competing with their core of Conley and Gasol while they still got them. So Alex is joining me to gush about Luka and then to see if we can scheme on some trade scenarios to land him on our beloved Knicks. Let's start the show. Hit it, Marv.
Yes.
So Alex, we're here today to concoct various schemes to see if we can land our favorite prospect, Luka Doncic, on our beloved New York Knicks. I think you and I both agree that he is the best prospect in this draft. But before we hatch these schemes and discuss which ones we might like and which ones might be more or less realistic, I figured it would be good to share with the audience why we love this man-child from Slovenia so much. So, I don't know. Do you want to start? Do you want to talk a little bit about who Luka Doncic is, what you like about him, and I'll chip in and we'll round it out and do that whole thing?
Sure. That sounds good.
Let's do it.
Before we start scheming. Yeah, Luka, he's from Slovenia. He's like maybe the most accomplished teenager in European basketball history. Actually, I don't even think that's a maybe at this point. I think that's like a for sure.
It's by a lot at this too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's just, I'm pulling up his stats here. He just got done averaging in the Liga ACB, which is the top league in Europe over there.
And before anyone like questions, is it really much better than the NCAA? Because this is a meme that you hear a lot people talk about. I mean, the answer is yes. I'm not an expert on the Spanish league, but if you watch even a couple of games, it's clear they're grown-ass men. They've been playing basketball for longer. They're more disciplined. They're familiar with their bodies. They know all the ins and outs of different schemes. Like, yes, it's definitely superior to the NCAA. Even if they do have future all-star NBA talent, they're all super young, and they move to the league after 1 year. So it's not even a question.
Yes, exactly. And it's, I mean, he's playing against, it's probably, if you were going to place, like, the Liga ACB that he plays in, it's probably like above the NCAA, but obviously a significant enough step down from the NBA.
Yes,
but
that's fair.
You see a lot of players over there that are players that were once considered NBA caliber that maybe didn't pan out for whatever reason. You know, just a lot of guys that, you know, are just barely not good enough for the NBA, but still make millions of dollars playing basketball every year because they're good at basketball.
And he is 19.3 years old, so young 19.
19.3, baby. 111 days. Born in 1999. We're almost to the point where prospects have been born in the year 2000, which is absurd to me.
Yeah, it's making me feel really old because I just remember looking forward to 2000 for what felt like the longest possible time. About 18 years, but whew.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't get points. Let's round out the basics. 6'7", 220 pounds. That's, I don't know he didn't go to the combine, so I don't have his wingspan measurements, but from what I can tell and from what people say, I think it's just supposed to be sort of average for his height, like not exceptional, but not little baby T-Rex arms. Would that jive with your knowledge of him?
Yeah, and I mean, he's basically, he's not phenomenal athletically, and that's the biggest thing holding him back in draft circles, is that he has... So he has a phenomenal feel for the game. He's like a ridiculous passer. He's
genius level passer, I would say.
Genius level passer.
People that around, but if you watch highlights for just a little bit, you're like, what? Like he flicks these cross court passes like with the ball in between his knees with his wrists, and you're like, how did he even get that zip on it? And he seemed, you know, like two moves ahead, to use the cliche, but it really is true. It's outstanding, his passing.
Yeah, and he has a variety of scoring, you know, moves that he uses. He's pretty solid around the rim. He has really good touch. He's a good 3-point shooter. I mean, there's like nothing.
Draws a ton of fouls.
Yeah.
Gets to the line a lot. Just a savant at navigating screens. I mean, so the guy he's a point forward, more or less. I mean, he's sort of in the mold of a LeBron or a Ben Simmons, but without that sort of, you know, obviously in LeBron's case, just never before seen athleticism. But still, I'd say, you know, a notch below Simmons. But he does have that vision. And he's not a bad athlete. I think it's definitely fair to question how his athleticism might impact him at the next level. But I don't think he's a bad athlete. And you'll see people talking about this, and I think it's true. I think he shows a really, I don't know if it's elite. It's hard to say. I'm not going to say I'm an expert on this, but his deceleration just looks really outstanding. Sort of like that James Harden style stop on a dime. Even if his first step's not incredible, that ability to kind of like stop immediately and pull up can really give you some separation that you might not get if your athleticism isn't, you know, the very cream of the crop.
Yeah, and you know, that all comes with he has just really phenomenal ball skills. That's all part of the passing too, but you know, when he's dribbling the ball, it's like liquid, you know. Nothing seems like he didn't predetermine it in his head already, you know, like a split second before his defender. So
he doesn't seem because, like, he's figuring out what he's doing as he's doing it, like you said.
Everything feels predetermined with him, and he's just, I don't know. Offensively, he's phenomenal. I feel like the only thing that can maybe hold him back in the NBA is defense. Which is a concern because he plays like a point guard, but he definitely doesn't look like he defend point guards.
No, I don't think he can. I think you'd have to put him on some bigger guys. Expecting him to chase Trey Burke around a screen or, you know, someone like super quick, like a John Wall, that's just not a good idea.
No. But, you know, he's also, from what I've seen, and trust, I'm no expert, you know, I tried to watch not quite as much of him in the last couple months because it's just kind of depressing because I'm under the impression the Knicks probably won't get him.
Sure.
You know, just from watching him, it seems like he's a good enough team defender. Like, if you put him in a good scheme, that basketball IQ will show through and he can at least be passable enough to make it work out there.
I'm with you 100%. To use the what is now a hoary old cliche, even though I feel like it was just coined like 6 months ago. In today's switch everything NBA, I think that he's smart enough to navigate those switches and quick enough to do that and put himself in good position and make the right read. And for me, I don't know how much more there is to say about him. We're just about, you know, at the draft. You guys know who Luka Doncic is. But just on a personal note, I mean, I fell in love with him this year, and he's my favorite draft pick this year for the same reason that I fell in love with Lonzo last year. I mean, there are some people who you can break things down and you can talk about important subsets of skills, like pull-up shooting off the dribble, you know, like coming around screens. All that stuff is important. But then, like, when you watch a game sometimes, you've been watching basketball your whole life, you've been playing it, you can see people who just know what the fuck they're doing. And this is a guy who just knows what the fuck he's doing. Like, he is a basketball player all the way. He understands the game. I mean, I think there are things he can improve upon, but it's just, he just has it. And like you said, it always seems like things are predetermined. He just seems so smart out there, but also has the skill, obviously, to back that up. You can be as smart as you want if you're, you know, not an athlete, but he is. And I just can't see him not continuing to improve. There's this weird thing out there now where, you know, well, is this all he's going to be? Like, why? Why would he just stop at 19? There's nothing that I've seen that leads me to believe that he's someone who's satisfied. Like, okay, I reached this. Why would you just assume someone who's so all around talented, who's so skilled? I mean, I guess you could get complacent, and they talk about him maybe being like he needs to trim down or whatever. But I don't watch anyone else in this draft who seems to have anywhere near just that all-around basketball IQ, just understanding of the game, with, like, the possible exception of, like, a Trae Young, which is why I'm a huge Trae Young stan. But, I mean, to me, Luke is far and away better than him and definitely better than Ayton. And I think it's crazy that he's dropping. I really think it's insane. I haven't watched these guys as much as a lot of other people have, but from what I've seen, I just don't get it. I don't get it at all.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I mean, I don't really understand why he's dropping either, unless it's just like that weird Euro bias. I mean, it's not to say that this draft class is, you know, full of a bunch of scrubs either, because it's clearly a very deep class. So I guess if some teams just feel a certain way about wanting, you know, big man help or whatever the case may be, like clearly the Suns, I guess, think that Ayton's going to be the guy. Also, Ayton's a local guy there too, so that's probably has something to do with it as well. He's like been in the Phoenix area his whole life.
Yeah, they're going to feel real good passing on the best player of the draft. Well, he was from Phoenix. I mean, I'm kind of an Ayton hater. I will probably be exposed in the years to come, but the fact that he's so bad at defense and is what everyone recognizes as like this basketball robot with his body, to me, is like horrifying. I mean, that's a huge red flag.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to get too much into it, but that was probably like, I think the part of that with Ayton was the fact that his coach in college insisted on playing him in a too big set, and I think that kind of made him look really bad on D.
I cut you off. You're not wrong. I just
no, it's okay.
People are like,
I mean,
20-10, and it's like, okay, well. Who cares?
I mean, there's definitely like a non-zero chance that Ayton could just end up being like Cantor or something like that, where he's just like points and rebounds guy and just never figures out how to defend anybody.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll see. But at any rate, yeah, I mean, there's a chance. So basically, do you want to segue into what we're getting to here?
You see, you're good. You're good, Alex. You know I want to segue into what we're getting into here, into some schemes. But before we do that, just need to remind you that you are listening to Locked On Knicks, the number one daily sports podcast network in the entire world. Locked On Sports, your team every day. Okay. All right. Let's concoct some schemes. How do you want to approach this? Do you want to give us a little historical context, perhaps? For teams trading top 10 picks?
Ooh, maybe not a bad idea. What are we calling this, by the way? I know you had a certain idea about what we want to call this mission that we're doing.
Well, I'm glad you asked. There is, I should have told you, production note, there is currently Mission Impossible music playing in the background. And are we calling this Luca Impossible? Very creative.
Luca Impossible,
Luca
I like
Impossible.
It. Or Mission Luca, maybe?
Mission Luca?
Luca Impossible. I like that
better.
Yeah. Okay. So I went digging for a little recent context on what it takes to get a top 10 pick, like what it takes to trade up for a top 10 pick. So obviously the first example was last year. It was a trade within the top 10, which would be what the Knicks... So, first off, we're assuming that Memphis is going to be the team that the Knicks would be able to trade with, which we'll get into in a minute. But the Knicks would have to move up 5 spaces to get there. So, if we look back on last year, there was the much ballyhooed trade between the Celtics and the Sixers.
I've heard of that one.
That sent the number one pick to Philadelphia from Boston and moved Boston down 2 spots to number 3, where they ultimately took Jason Tatum, which looks pretty good for them. Mm-hmm. Screw the Celtics. I hate them. Yep. but so the cost for that was the pick swap, obviously. So they only moved 2 spaces, and they gave up, the Sixers did, the Lakers pick for this year, or they would have had the Lakers been worse. So the deal with it was, if the Lakers pick this year had fallen between picks 2 and 5, the Celtics would have gotten it. Now, instead, next year, the Celtics will get the worse of the Sixers or the Kings pick, which is probably going to be the Kings pick, obviously, because the Sixers are good now. Mm-hmm. And given how the trajectory has gone with the Kings, it'll probably be another top 10 pick. So, and that was it. That was the whole thing. So that the cost there was move up 2 spaces from 3 to 1, and the cost was what effectively is a top 10 pick, like what is relatively known as going to be a top 10 pick. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's example one. Example two was the 2016 draft 2 years ago. And it was the trade that landed Marquise Chris in Phoenix. So Sacramento, again, was involved. Sacramento's always somehow involved with these things, I guess, because that's just how they roll. So Sacramento had the 8 pick in 2016, and Phoenix moved up from 13 to number 8, which is important to consider because that was a 5-spot increase, which is exactly mm-hmm. what the Knicks would be hoping to accomplish. They sent out their own pick 13. They sent out pick 28 of that same year, the rights to Bogdan Bogdanovic, and a 2020 second-round pick in that deal. So that was effectively their own late lottery pick, an end of the first rounder pick, and a relatively touted prospect in Bogdanovic, plus a 2020 second rounder. Mm-hmm. So that's example number 2.
Okay.
And then example number 3, this one probably doesn't apply quite as much, but I'm just trying to establish like a baseline of what a pick in that general range would be.
Right.
The Nerlens Noel trade in 2014 involved Philly and New Orleans, and in that one, that was the start of the process, if you recall.
Yes.
Philly traded Jrue Holiday, and
who just sunned the Trailblazers to death.
Yes, they traded Jrue Holiday and their 42nd overall pick that year for the 2014 pick that allowed them to take Nerlens Noel.
And Jrue Holiday, I mean, is like a all-star-ish guard who just always struggled with injuries.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I think he's an excellent player. You know, so
I'm sorry. I screwed that up. The Pelicans got the Sixers' second-round pick. So the Sixers gave up a second-round pick and Jrue Holiday, and they got that 6th pick. That was how that worked.
Alright.
So, yeah, but that was kind of a unique circumstance, too, because the Sixers, like, Holiday's value was much lower then than it is now. Like, he wasn't, like, the max player that he is now. So that's probably why they had to throw that extra little sweetener in there. Right. Like, he was still, like, star.
He showed, like, a lot of promise. He wasn't just some, like, unheard of guy or anything. But then, and then the Boston one's interesting because... Probably not, I mean, maybe not a great deal if you're at the beginning of a rebuild, but when you're an excellent team, like those bastards in Boston, if you think you've identified your guy in Jason Tatum, which they did, then it's okay to give up that extra, you know, first round pick. If you're someone who's like talent deficient, as good as Jason Tatum is that worth it? Like, I don't know. That becomes a consideration. So it's all context dependent, like, of course. Just something to consider as we go into some of our possible heists. Why don't you... Have you provided all the historical context you wish, my friend?
Yeah, yeah. That's about as far back as I'd feel comfortable going.
Yeah.
Because there was a time before that where first-round picks were just being tossed around like candy, you know, because before the salary structure was changed for max players and whatnot, it wasn't as huge of a deal to send out a first-round pick. But now it's like if you can have that player that could turn into a star on that cost-controlled deal, it makes such a big difference.
Yep.
And that's been for the last few years. So, yeah, that's about as far back as I'd feel comfortable going to give context anyway.
Okay, so before we get into the final third of our program and hatch some schemes, just want to remind you guys real quick that you are listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like what you hear, head on over to iTunes and rate us 5 stars. Once again, that's Locked On Knicks. Scheme number one. What do you
got? All right, well, so here's what's going to have to happen in any of these trades, right? So we're assuming that the draft has gone to this point. The first pick was DeAndre Ayton. Mm-hmm. Second pick, we'll say, was...
Let's go with Michael Porter Jr.
Okay. Just for fun.
Just to make Sacramento look as dumb as possible.
Okay, Michael Porter Jr., number two, who was actually your pick in the Locked On mock draft.
I had to do it. It represented too much value at number nine. Couldn't pass.
I know. I agree. But
especially if it were a real world scenario, like I know we're trying to think that way, but at the end of the day, it is a mock draft. So I'm like, well, I gotta take Michael Porter Jr. Like, you know, I'd be much more concerned with the back in real life. But at the same time, again, not a doctor, and I do think he has incredible upside. It's just there's some ancillary issues, but
yeah. Anyway, so we've now so DeAndre Ayton has gone one. Michael Porter Jr. has gone number two to the Kings,
yes.
And we'll say Jaren Jackson goes three to the Hawks. So now Doncic is on the board. The Grizzlies have been rumored over the last week or so to be shopping their number four pick. Potentially.
So I just before you go any further, like I just want to, I've said we're hatching schemes or whatever, but this is based on a very low probability reality that has developed where both Doncic does seem like he could slip even past the Grizzlies. I've heard a couple people say on podcasts in the past couple days where, you know, insidery types who are professional connected to the NBA, blah, blah, blah. They're like, he could go as far as five. And Memphis has, not super actively shopped their pick, but they have reached out to see what people would want for it. There are some rumblings that they're ready to move off of it, especially because they, in my opinion, incorrectly, although I get it, want to contend with Conley and Gasol while they still have them. So they're less interested in developing a young guy. But so this is far-fetched, but it's not just like this complete waste of time out of nowhere garbage that we're, you know, roster baiting deep in the trenches of Reddit. You know, shouts to y'all on Reddit. Not trying to, you know. But, like, this isn't just like we're bored during the summer. There is a baseline of reality here. So, sorry, I just wanted to add that. Please continue, Alex.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, I mean, so it's very real rumors. And the thing that they're trying to do, apparently, is get out from under Chandler Parsons' deal,
yes.
Which he gets paid. Oh, it's just absurd. He paid
you start thinking about it, you start laughing. I love it.
$23 million gets paid to effectively do nothing but be hurt all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to get out from under that deal, and they're apparently looking at the number four pick as a potential avenue to do that, potentially to move back, you know, and you know, move a little further back in the draft in exchange for getting out from under his contract. So,
and he has two more years on that deal, correct? Sorry if you just said that.
Yes, it is two more years on that deal after this one at roughly $24 million, okay. Something like that, 23 and a half, 24. So, yeah, it's definitely an ugly contract. And I mean, but for a team like the Knicks, it shouldn't matter because it'll effectively tank being able to go after free agents next year. But in all likelihood, this team's probably not going to be ready to try to land a big fish like that until 2020 anyway.
Right.
Like, they would need to maybe next year potentially push towards the playoffs or something and start to look a little more stable. And then if they had a good year that next year, then maybe be able to go after a free agent.
And correct me if I'm wrong by speaking on your behalf, but from my perspective, the difference between a Doncic and what's available at nine is significant. I view him as, you know, a foundational piece on a championship caliber team. And I think that pushing your free agent window back 1 year is absolutely worth it for someone like this, where I feel very sure that that's what he is. Now, there is a chance that who the Knicks grab at nine, if they do stay there, could turn out to be better than him or different, but also so good that they're in that same conversation. But the odds are significantly lower, I would say. So for me, it's worth it pushing back that free agent window just to get that crack at a prospect that is the caliber of a Doncic.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, he's just, I mean, if it wasn't apparent enough by our gushing over him at the beginning of the show, he's very good, and you know, he's very much a guy that you would be willing to push the timeline back a little for. But in reality, you might not even be pushing the timeline back. You might just have these guys developing together and then be adding that final piece when you can finally hit free agency.
And he makes everyone better. That's something that that was kind of implied by what we said. Mm-hmm. But he's definitely that guy. He raises the ceiling of like all the players on the floor that he's with. So,
for sure.
Yeah.
So basically, if you want to get that fourth pick, a few things probably have to happen. One, you're probably going to have to swap picks with Memphis. I don't know if you're just going to be able to outright acquire that.
Right.
Based off that precedent that we were talking about, the only one where the team receiving the pick wasn't sending out their own pick for that same season was that Sixers deal, but they were sending out a player that was already All-Star caliber or nearly so with Jrue Holiday.
Right.
So,
and the Knicks don't really have that available because we're not talking about getting rid of KP here. So.
No, yeah, not at all. So you're probably sending like matching salary plus finding some other way to make it enticing, and then you're swapping picks with them for this year. So that's kind of the assumed thing here. So the Knicks are going to be sending them their ninth pick. They're going to be getting back the fourth pick and Parsons. So the trick is figuring out what else to attach to make this attractive enough to work. So realistically, when you're looking at the Knicks roster, Enes Kanter can't be traded yet, even though he would be more or less a perfect salary piece to work this with, because he's probably not going to accept his option until after the draft.
Yeah.
At which point he could be traded, but until then he can't be. Noah makes a huge salary, but that would sort of defeat Memphis' whole purpose in this exercise, so I really doubt they would want
him. Because it's the same amount of years as Parsons, whereas Kanter would chop off that final year that Parsons has.
Yeah, because Kanter's an expiring for next year if he picks up his option. So, I mean, and I guess he could be like their bench Gasol, you know, because he's, I guess, similar enough without the defense. But anyway, so the next guys that you run into on the Knicks roster that would probably be the most likely to be traded in this situation would be either Tim Hardaway Jr. or Courtney Lee. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how you feel about either one of those two options. I would actually prefer to trade Lee, and Memphis might actually prefer to receive him. Hmm. So I don't know exactly how that would go. Well, so Lee makes $11 million. So, or 12, we'll say 12 million, round
yeah,
up.
I think that's about right, yeah.
So he's representing a $11, $12 million difference from Parsons' salary. Now, obviously, you have to send some more salary to them to make the rest of it work, but he just is coming off a career year. He's kind of like that standard contending player that I feel like every team that thinks that they're a contender would want.
I don't know if this is going to help our case or not, but I had nothing against him, but just like the prospect of watching him play for two more years on the Knicks just depresses me. I just don't, I don't want to see it. He's fine. Like, he's fine. I'm just, I've had enough. I don't know.
Yeah. It is worth noting though, that he was on the Grizzlies during their like grit and grind thing, and under the same management. So there might be a whole nostalgia factor there too.
Or they might have got sick of him the same way all 900 teams that have employed him have got sick of him eventually.
I don't know if anybody's ever gotten sick of him. Everybody always talks so good about
him. Why did he get traded 700 times then?
Just because he's convenient to trade. I don't know.
Everything he does, he's overrated at. Like, he's not a bad player, but he was frequently in the clubhouse lead for the bottom of plus minus on any given game. and he's supposed to be this 3-point player, but he's always taking steps in, this 3-point shooter. He's always taking but he doesn't do it at volume. He is at an infuriatingly low volume. Instead of taking a step to the side, he takes a step in for a long two. He's got this reputation as like this great defender, and like he's okay. He's got this reputation as, you know, this team guy, but he yells at his guys on the court more than I would like for someone like that. He seems to kind of lose his cool a little bit. Granted, he's playing for the Knicks. It would be hard for me too to like always be super professional in those circumstances, and I'm just kind of like shitting on Courtney Lee here, so I feel almost a little unfair as I'm doing it, but it's just boring. I don't think he's honestly like I don't think he's on a Jarrett Jack level where he brings that much like veteran leadership the same way. And there's just nothing. I don't particularly enjoy his game. I'm not looking forward to any growth. I'm not looking forward to the Knicks winning games next year because I think it's the last year that they can have a really high draft pick. So like the Courtney Lee experience, I've just kind of I personally am done with it. I'm not going to be super upset if he's around, but I would love to see him moved. So
well, I mostly just want him gone because I want the playing time freed up. That's my biggest gripe at this point. Like. Right. If they could trade him and they can move him in a deal that gets them something of any worth or any sort of young players or future draft considerations, anything, just do it. Just to like find him a new home where he can be on a team that maybe has a shot at something and get him off of our team so our young guys like Dotson can start playing.
I think there's less to worry about with Fizdale replacing Hornacek, but I do think it's still a legitimate concern. I do think Courtney Lee is a really prideful guy, which I'm not saying he shouldn't be, but I don't think he's pumped to concede time to players that he thinks aren't as good for him for development. That's not a sense I get from him, even though I think he'd say the right things because I do think he's, you know, a solid professional. But at the same time, he's 32. He's only got one life to live, so I'm not even saying I blame him, but I don't think that he would be excited about giving up playing time for development. So I think it would be, a good thing to move him. And if we're talking about him versus Hardaway, I know a lot of Knicks fans would love to get off his contract, but I still like Hardaway. I still think he has untapped potential. I think this past season was a cluster F. I'm going to try to tone down the cursing for the rest of this episode. On a lot of levels, between his injury and just whatever was going on with Hornacek and schemes and rotations and, him Hardaway feeling bad that he was underperforming and then pressing when you talk about, you know, his, like, seven games in a row not hitting a three and shooting 10 threes each game or whatever. He had these chunks where he was so good that I look at those chunks more than, like, that overall body of work of 31% shooting from downtown, for instance. That might be a little bit foolhardy of me, and I will admit that, but he was good enough for long enough for certain segments of the season and showed a lot more improvement compared to where he was as a rookie when we watched him on the Knicks that I still think he's kind of like a young 25 or 26 and I think he's got room to grow and I'd like to see him give him a chance to finish out his contract. That being said, if he's the guy who Memphis wants, then yeah. I mean, see ya. It was nice knowing you, Timmy. Welcome to the team, Luca. I wouldn't like let Hardaway hold that up.
No, I feel the same way. So no matter who it would come down to, pretty much anyone that's not Porzingis or Ntilikina moving out in this trade, I'm like, okay, do it. they're all replaceable. Ntilikina and Porzingis probably aren't. But you could probably replace most of the other guys you could send out in this trade pretty easily, and you're filling them with freaking Luka Doncic, who's like amazing, so he'll instantly replace them anyway.
Yes.
But anyway, so at any rate, what we'd have to do to make the numbers work here is you'd have to either send out Courtney Lee or Tim Hardaway, and then probably also Lance Thomas. And then potentially any of the small salary guys to make it work also. So you could do something like, you could throw them Trey Burke. You could throw them Damian Dotson. You could throw them, I don't know, Troy Williams, I guess.
I think Trey Burke would be a good piece for them.
For sure. I mean, he'd be a good backup to Conley.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's shown that he can score a little off the bench. He's shown that he can distribute. In the likely event that Conley gets hurt for some point in the season, he can step in and start for a while.
Loving the shade.
It's going to happen. Like, there's certain plays you just know are going to miss part of the season. We get Chandler Parsons back in this trade. We know that he's not playing in probably 60% of the games at minimum. Yeah. It's just kind of how it is. You know, there's certain guys that just have that rep. But and sometimes they surprise you, but in all likelihood, Conley's probably going to get hurt. So having someone like Burke around would probably be better than whatever they rolled with last year. They had Tyreek Evans a little bit. I don't even know who – looking at their roster right now, I don't even know who else they had play point guard, not having watched them. Mario Chalmers, there we go. Mario Chalmers a little bit. So.
I'm looking at Courtney Lee's career history, and he had two stints with the Grizzlies. I forgot about that. So
Didn't he get traded and then he signed back with them or something along those lines?
It was like he went to Charlotte and then back to Memphis. Anyway.
At any rate, so how about I will give you a trade. And you tell me if you would do it or not and why.
If I'm the Knicks or if I'm Memphis?
If let's say both sides. We got to cut. Do you want to play one side and I play the other?
I'll say if I'm the Knicks. What do you want to do? How do you want to do it?
Tell you what, I'll be the Knicks. I'll make you an offer. You pretend to be Memphis. Tell me if this sounds like a deal you would do.
Sounds good. All right, let's do it.
All right, take yourself out of your own shoes.
Uh-huh.
Have an out-of-body experience.
Taking them off.
Yep. Have an out-of-body experience. Transplant yourself into Memphis GM Chris Wallace's body.
I'm on acid at the moment, so I can do this. I can do this well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, good. Ring, ring, ring. Here's the phone. All right.
Hello! That's me answering as Mrs. Doubtfire. Just
Oh, my God. All right. We're off to a good start.
Public service announcement. Mrs. Doubtfire is like my girlfriend's favorite movie from growing up, and we wanted to watch it, and it's on Stars, and so we got like a free 7-day trial run of Stars. Stars has every movie you've seen a million times, but you haven't seen for like 15 years. So if you want to go on a nostalgia trip, get yourself a free 1-week trial of Stars. All right, sorry, we're off topic. But
okay,
getting back.
So, Mr. James Chris Wallace.
Yes, I'm Chris Wallace.
This is the Knicks. I'd like to offer you Courtney Lee, Lance Thomas, Trey Burke, our number 9 pick, and our number 36 pick in exchange for Chandler Parsons and your number 4 pick.
All right, say that one more time. You want to give me what do you want from me? You want my 4th pick
and Chandler Parsons.
Okay, that's good. I want to get rid of him.
And we're going to send you Courtney Lee, Lance Thomas,
right,
Trey Burke,
gotcha,
our number 9 pick, and our number 36 pick.
36. Well, so I'm the Grizzlies GM. I'm delusional, and I think it's worth trying to compete with my current core. I think that I'm going to sign a free agent with this money in Memphis, which is just unconscionable to me. Who is the best free agent that Memphis has ever signed?
Tyreek Evans last year. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh my God. You know what? I don't even think. You know what, Scott Perry. First of all, your voice is wonderful and sonorous, and you sound like Dr. John, so I want to commend you there. Second of all, this isn't even a bad offer. I just think I can do better with someone else. I think someone's going to give me another first-round pick. I'm not ready to take this. I'm not insulted. I don't mind that you called me, but I'm not loving it. I think you can do better.
Okay. All right. So We're going to restructure. So, all right. So that's our first offer. Mm-hmm. All right. So what have we learned from this?
Nothing.
That, I mean, in all likelihood, it's probably like, that's probably not going to be enough. As much as that's the deal that I think every Knicks fan would do in a heartbeat, right, I don't think that that's necessarily the deal that they're going to take. Because, you know, like we've said before, so the last time that someone traded up five spots into the top 10, that Phoenix deal to get Marquise Chris, they gave up an additional first-round pick, which, granted, is only eight spots. That was a late first-rounder. It's only eight spots away from that 36 pick. But they also gave up the rights to a pretty coveted prospect in Bogdanovich.
So, imagine doing all that for Marquise Chris. Can you imagine?
Yeah, and now we're talking about doing it for Doncic, which is obviously even more worth it. So, and they'll know that they have a real player that people love, yeah, and covet, that they're trying to trade.
All those guys that you offered to me, Scott Perry, I think they could help us, but if I'm trading, I like Doncic a lot. So if I'm going to trade him, I want someone who can like really help us this year. That's also part of my problem, I think, if I'm Memphis. And I don't know if the Knicks have that. But let's see what else you got.
All right, so let me go another direction here. So I actually stepping out of the role play for a second.
No.
I ran a poll on Twitter last week.
Okay.
That was basically mirroring this exact same situation, where we're saying, okay, the first three picks have gone off. Doncic is still on the board. What would you do to get that pick and to get Doncic back? So the poll that I ran, I said, would you trade Hardaway, Lance Thomas, and we can sub in Lee in this situation? I think more or less for the purposes of this, they're more or less interchangeable as far as we're concerned.
In terms of hitting that like within 25% in order to make those salaries work vibe?
Yeah, as far as hitting the salaries, they'll both work. And so whatever, your preference, it doesn't matter to me. So if the Grizzlies want one or the other, it would be whatever. But so the price is Hardaway, Thomas, the ninth pick, and then you either have to give up your unprotected 2019 first-round pick or Frank Ntilikina, and you can move up and get the fourth pick. So is that what's going to have to get it done? Like, then you keep your 36 pick, which is nice, but then you're taking a big gamble and saying that you can get better enough with Doncic that your 2019 first-round pick won't be top 10 again, or that you won't care because he's so good, you know, that you're willing to lose that top 10 pick. Or you're trading Frank Ntilikina, and it feels, you know, premature doesn't quite cut it as far as a an adjective for that situation.
If I'm the Knicks and I'm trading for Doncic, I would rather trade next year's pick than Ntilikina. And some people will listen to this and think that I'm an idiot. And you know what? I'm okay with that. Because first of all, have you seen Frank this offseason? He looks like a beast. He's getting ripped. He's fulfilling the prophecy. I just think he's such a unique player, and the skills that he brings with his, you know, defense is just going to be invaluable. Especially when we talked about Drew Holiday shutting down Lillard earlier. I mean, that's the kind of thing that you're going to see Frank do in the future in the playoffs. And when we talk about acquiring a player like Luka Doncic, we talked about him playing in the Spanish League. We touched briefly on him playing in Eurobasket, but Slovenia won Eurobasket. He was playing against teams that had real solid NBA level players on them. KP looked great in that tournament. Doncic looked even better. I mean, and his team won the whole thing. They beat KP's team. Long story short, if I'm trading for Doncic, I think that he makes that team good enough with, like, year two Ntilikina, with, you know, I don't know, you know, some of these, with some, if we're trusting Fizdale to develop some of these young guys and you know, a little bit more contributions from Burke, maybe we get a couple three-pointers from Enes Kanter when he inevitably opts in. Who the hell knows? KP comes back in January. Like, if you draft someone like Luka Doncic, I think he's ready to step in right away and elevate your team's floor and make it so that next year's pick isn't that surefire top 10 pick that it will be, that I think it will be, if Kristaps misses a majority of the season. So if I'm in the Knicks, if I'm the Knicks, like, I love Ntilikina, and if I'm trading for someone like Doncic, I think I'd rather give up next year's pick, which I don't think is going to be as bad as some people might think, which you have a right to think, see, because without Kristaps, last year they were just a complete horrible team. They played like the worst team in the league without him. But when you add a player like Luka, who is going to make everyone better, I think he's that rare guy who, as a rookie, still contributes a lot, a la Ben Simmons, a la Jason Tatum. That's my view on that.
Yeah, I feel the same. So if it was up to me, my choice in that situation would also be give up that 2019 unprotected first-round pick. You can maybe work some sort of, like, protection, like, top one protected, something like that. They might bite on that. But in all likelihood, I think you might have to give it up nearly unprotected.
Always dangerous.
So I'm curious. You didn't cheat and look at look at my Twitter ahead of time?
I voted in the poll, but I did not look at the results.
Okay, so between the options of Frank Ntilikina, the 2019 first, and hanging up the phone, which one do you think won?
Hanging up the phone.
Yeah, no doubt. 55%. out of 1,000 people, 55% would hang up the phone there. So I think if I was the Grizzlies and they were legitimately serious about shopping that pick, I think that that's a deal that they would actually take.
You think so?
But
do you think that salary cap relief is worth it for them? Like, that just alone? I mean,
it's not even just salary cap relief though. It's moving back 5 spots, still staying in the top 10 though. It's, you get Hardaway or Lee or whatever, who's a starting caliber shooting guard. Thomas, whatever, he's kind of there.
That's not gonna do it. I already shit on one beloved Nick. Is he?
But then getting another first round pick that would allow Memphis to get the best of, not even both worlds. It would be like the best of all three worlds. Of, you're getting cap relief, you're still getting a top 10 player this year, and you're getting what could very likely be a lottery pick for the next year to kind of let you sort of low-key rebuild while you try to compete out Conley and Gasol's, you know, remainder of their contracts. So I think that's a deal that would appeal to them.
How do you feel about giving up, you know, the pick swap and then whoever's on the Knicks, fine, but then an additional first-round pick with basically no protections, especially if it's next year? I know you love Luka. Are you concerned that the Knicks... My concern would be that we are at such a huge talent deficit just in terms of, like, raw number of assets compared to a team that you want to compete with, like the Celtics, like the Sixers. For as good as Luka is he that good that it's worth giving up an additional young guy who figures to be a top 10 pick? What do you think?
Well, so I don't know if he has to be so good that, like, he's going to single-handedly drag you kicking and screaming to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I think he just has to be good enough that this team finally, like, shows improvement, which I think is the main goal. You want to just have the team show that they can, you know, make the playoffs, or that they can come close to the playoffs, you know, finish within a few games of it and actually be in the hunt. And I think he could certainly accomplish that. Then, if you're without that draft pick, you might actually start attracting free agents sooner than later. You know, so that's the thing.
I take it for granted that we'll never sign another free agent for as long as I live, but that's just, that comes from a place of pessimism just from the past, and things obviously change. And so if the Knicks become a well-run team, which they're on the way to being, like, that's not outrageous for people who don't pay attention to them every day. They might think that, but if they do become a well-run team with a promising core, you're right. I honestly forget about that sometimes because it's just so out of the realm of possibility over the past 10, 15 years. But that does become a consideration. Is Doncic good enough, like you said, where pair with KP, pair with Frank, maybe one of these other guys, like, show some promise? Does he attract someone who is top caliber. I mean, we've heard rumors of Kyrie Irving wanting to come. You know,
yeah.
And he talked about wanting to play with KP, which I think is underrated. I think a smart basketball player would want to play with KP. I mean, that's just like an outstanding big to want to pair yourself with, assuming, you know, he comes back healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way I look at it.
It makes me queasy a little bit.
Yeah, it's all just a big puzzle, you know what I mean? It's like if you guess right, you know, then you look like a genius. If you guess wrong, then you look like an idiot, you know? And it's like, is this gamble worth it, or is it going to come back to bite you? And you just kind of have to weigh that back and forth.
True.
I feel like in this particular case, that gamble would be worth it. As cringy as it is to most Knicks fans to give up any additional first-round picks, God forbid unprotected, it's just like, if you gave up that 2019 pick, let's even say that things didn't work out as perfectly as you wanted with Doncic, you still have all your other picks going forward. It's no Carmelo deal where you're giving up every other year for the next like 10 years, right. where you're basically screwing yourself for a decade. You know, you're giving up one pick. You're taking a shot on this kid who looks like he could be an all-world kind of guy.
Do you think Memphis would really? So if, let's say Memphis was down to take they were down to do this with the unprotected first next year. Do you really think they would balk at like a top three or a top five protection? Do you think that's all the difference to them? Like that could be what seals it?
Well, it's tricky because like I don't know how teams are going to value those protections now with the new lottery rules, you know? Because now they're smoothing it out a little bit. So now the top bad teams don't get as good of a, you know, a chance at getting that top pick as they once did, and now the teams going further back are going to get a better chance at it. So, you know, there's a chance to, like, if the Knicks finished, let's say, the sixth worst record in the league. I don't have the new odds in front of me, but I know that at the sixth worst, they're going to have a better chance now to get the top pick. So Memphis then would be potentially risking, you know, losing that top pick again. Right. So I don't know if they'd be into that.
Interesting. Gut feeling. Do you think the Knicks would have enough to get it done in a deal that would make sense for both parties?
It depends on your definition of making sense and how high you are on Doncic. Like, I think they have the thing with the Knicks is they have the perfect situation for this trade. Like, I was talking to someone, I think I was talking to Scooter on our Slack the other day on the posting and toasting. Yeah, on the posting and toasting Slack, and he was saying something about like, oh, well, a team like Philly could potentially outbid the Knicks. And I'm like, well, not really anymore, because if you think about it, Philly's in contention mode now.
Yeah,
like they don't want to bring on $20 million in dead salaries.
They can't. I were talking about this. I'm glad you brought it up. There are very few teams who are in a place where they'd be willing to take on a Parsons, I think, right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean
very few.
You can basically count it on one hand. Yeah. I think the Knicks, the Suns would probably do it if they could somehow move from that 16 pick all the way back up to 4. But that's a tall freaking order. Like, they'd have to give up another like top prospect probably to do that. Mm-hmm. Or more picks in the future, like a lot of picks. They're one of them. Charlotte, if they're willing to blow it up, like if they're ready to just say, screw it, like we're ready to start, you know, blowing it up and stop trying to compete for the playoffs, they might try doing that. Other than that, like, Atlanta maybe, but like they already have the number 3 pick,
right.
And I don't. Oh, they have. Don't they have a couple other picks in the first round this year too, though? That's maybe an option as well.
Tough to say. As the number one Knicks podcast in the world, I can't speak for Atlanta, but I know.
Yeah, they have the number 9. So in addition to the 3 pick, they have the number 19 and the number 30 picks.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So, I mean, you could use those 2 picks in addition to, Schroeder or something like that, if they're really just, like, blowing it up.
Schroeder,
like,
toots.
Yeah. Yes, the German version of Scooter.
Shit. Alex, do you have any like final thoughts on this whole scenario? Anything? Any bullets left in the chamber?
I feel so. We covered two scenarios, right? That I think are on kind of one end and the other of what would be, mm-hmm. you know, like what Knicks fans would love to see versus what Knicks fans would cringe at.
Yeah.
And I think you could maybe find a middle ground in there. We could sit here and we could discuss different picks, different pick protections, whatever, like till we're blue in the face. Ultimately, we're never going to come up to exactly what might possibly be discussed between Perry and Mills and Memphis. But I just think that if you can do it and you can not give up so much that you're crippling yourself, that Doncic is a player that's definitely worth doing it for. Like, he's the guy to move up on. Like,
I'm inclined to agree. I'm very against. I haven't really touched on this in the podcast yet, and I'm not getting into this now, but like, I'm not huge on trying to get Kawhi. You know, Cliff's notes, I think these, you know, I know Kawhi is like an elite guy, but I think excellent players become available every year. I think the Knicks are just way too early in their rebuild to start, you know, subtracting pieces to add one. Like I said, they have like very few, but you know, that's like a whole other topic. I don't want to get too much into that, but I'm, as someone who is very hesitant to do this kind of thing, especially given how many mistakes the Knicks have made in the past, I do think that I still don't know if I would do it, honestly. It's a very difficult decision to make, but I think it's reasonable to consider Luka Doncic as someone who you would do something like this for. I mean, I do see him as that kind of talent. The only thing that gives me any kind of pause is he's not quite on that like LeBron level where it's just an absolute no-brainer, you know what I mean? But
no, obviously he's not LeBron, he's not Anthony Davis, like, right.
Like he's not there.
There's a chance that he might be at the fourth pick. So and part of that, I think, is international bias that is always going to be around, you know, just because he doesn't necessarily like he's not at the forefront of everybody's mind because he's not playing in the, you know, March Madness and whatever. But there's definitely real flaws to his game and real limitations to him. But I think he's good enough to overcome those and probably be an all-star when he's in the NBA.
Yeah, I see him as a. I mean, the NBA is what a great place we are in as a league. I know people hate on the predictability of Warriors versus Celtics, but there are so many young, amazing players that it's tough to just be like, yeah, he's going to be a multiple-time All-Star. But I see that as a realistic ceiling for him and one that I don't think is far-fetched to see him. I expect him to make multiple All-Star teams, and I would be surprised if he doesn't.
I just got to pause for a sec. Did you just look into the future a second ago?
Yeah, I did.
You said Warriors versus Celtics.
Oh, did I? Jesus. It's the C's. It's the C team. One's a hard, one's a soft C. I'm also looking at this picture of Chris Wallace, the GM of the Grizzlies, and it's cracking me up because it dawned on me halfway through the podcast that he literally has the same name as the notorious B.I.G., and there could not be two people who share the same name and have they're both fat, but other than that, their auras could not be any more divergent. Oh my god. Chris Wallace is like a super old white hair, fat white dude.
Oh my god.
It's distracting me, it's spooking me. Oh, I feel like this is a good place to end. Any final thoughts?
No, that was my final thought. Yeah. I think we've talked about all we can talk about here.
Yeah, I think we got it. We were trying to keep it to 30. I was talking with Alex ahead of time, but when we get together, you know, I just can't. Sometimes the natural chemistry is just too much. What can I say?
It's impossible. Those lightning bolts go off, and we just, you know, our eyes meet through the phone, and you know, magic happens. It's crazy.
It's funny. I've been trying to like half-heartedly get a P&T meetup with people for a while now, a little behind the curtain scenes. I actually have no idea what like any of these guys look like, except for Drew, because he's got his stupid face and his dumb hat in his Twitter profile pic. But I love Drew so much. Drew, you know I love you. I have no idea what you look like, Alex, and I just kind of want to meet you without having any idea. I do know that you're big. You're like 6'4 or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 6'4", 235, hopefully a little less soon. But
you could probably take Wendell Carter in the post. You could handle him.
I could. Dude, I could legitimately, like, I'd probably be better suited for the NFL, quite frankly.
Could you move Miles Bridges off his spot?
I could, absolutely. Dude, any NBA player, I could move them. Yeah.
I love it. I love it so much.
I'm calling it. Maybe this has reach, and maybe we can set up like a challenge at Madison Square Garden. One of the Knicks players will let me try to bowl them over.
We'll make a whole day of it. You can beat up NBA players. I can challenge Ron Baker to a cooking competition. I'm going to salt the shit out of that Boston water. Alex, a joy as always. Why don't you tell the people where they can find you online, and if you want to plug any of your work, you can do that too.
So check me out on Twitter at the Alex Wolf, WOLFEE at the end. Check me out on postingandtoasting.com, best site on the web. And check out our draft coverage. There's lots coming out this week from me and from other friends of the show.
Yes, there's actually a lot of good second round guys, which we haven't talked about because that bores me. Sorry, not sorry. But lots of great in-depth coverage from a lot of the Posting and Toasting guys over there. So
yeah, so check us out, you know, and follow me on Twitter. I can't wait for my 5-follower bump after this episode.
That's what Locked On Knicks does. Thank you, Alex.
All right, thanks, Dane.
Oh, yeah. I was going to try to keep that one 30 minutes. Sorry, but, you know, we got into it. You guys deserve the best, and that's what we're going to give you. That's it, though, of the best for today's show. I want to thank you guys so much for listening. If you've got a moment, rate us on iTunes. Subscribe to the show if you have not already. Tell your friends about the sensation that is Locked On Knicks if you have not already. Follow us on Twitter for bonus takes and general camaraderie at Locked On Knicks or NBA Injury Report. Be chill to each other. Spay and neuter your pets. Be a responsible pet owner. If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. That's about peeing versus pooping and conserving water. Always salt the pasta water. And I swear to God, if you guys question me on how much salt, I know how much salt to put in. You're really going to come at the God and tell him how much. I swear to God, you guys. I do love you, though. I love you all, even the ones who question me about how much salt I put in my pasta water. Just don't forget it, all right? It's important. It's your only chance to flavor the pasta itself. Last but not least, take that for data. And tune in tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Knicks. Peace!